welcome to another episode of the Beer Opinions podcast. As always, I am Pat Berger, owner of Kaiser Tiger and Patty Longs, and with me is Bruce White from the Chicagoland Beer Tours. How you doing, Bruce?
Yo, doing well, man. Rocking and rolling on this beautiful summer day.
Excellent.
Nice and hot and humid out there.
Good. Yes, it is hot and humid, yeah. But you know, we'll take it. It's Chicago. I just want to mention that right in front of you is a beautiful piece of equipment, newly purchased here for the Beer Opinions podcast by Stuart.
Thank you, Stuart.
Well, you know, well thanks, Stuart. We're also going to throw him under the bus because the last podcast was terrible. As someone tweeted to me, it was absolute garbage as far as the audio went.
Sorry.
And that we're blaming squarely on Stuart.
You're welcome.
I know. You see, yeah, we build you up and then we
tear you down.
And then we tear you down. That's how it works.
Vince Lombardi in podcasts.
Yes. You know, like, yes. It's all mind game in podcasting. It's all mind games. So hopefully you can hear us all today. And hopefully from now on you will hear everybody. Everyone has a mic and
I'm pretty sure you can control the space shuttle with this soundboard or whatever it's called.
There's a lot of buttons on there.
Yeah, I'm not going to touch it. So
please don't.
No.
I might touch it.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, to test our mics, we do have a guest this week. Dave Abram, who's like, what the fuck did I just get myself into? What is this thing I'm on? It's Beer Opinions Podcast, Dave. It's pretty fucking professional. This is the real deal.
I was actually thinking of our brewmaster, who's incredibly German, and he would say, it's very American, you have very many flashing lights and blinking lights. It's like half our facility is made by Germans, but like all the stuff that's made outside of Germany has shiny parts, you know, flashing lights.
Yeah.
The brew house is just German and efficient, and it's
very
just
efficient
stainless.
Business only.
Right. Yeah. It just does what it's supposed to do.
I thought you were going to say, it's very American, it's totally unorganized and full of shit.
Right.
Either way, we are American. And maybe Andreas will join us here. He's on his way down for a few beers. We should probably introduce you as well, Dave. You are the CEO of Great Central Brewing Company, a new addition to our wonderful neighborhood here in the West Loop. And why don't you explain a little bit about what you do? Because you guys are not a traditional brewery.
We're not. It's actually... That's a, I guess, a statement or sometimes in the form of a question that we get very often. So, or it's more of like, so what do
those
you
are my interviewing
what
skills.
What is it you do there?
Yeah.
What is it you do there? So we are the Great Central Brewing Company. And thank you. It's very nice. These mics are very, very sleek, very smooth. I'm enjoying it. So Great Central Brewing Company was founded as part of a... It's a long project that started out as a production-based facility, but as we saw, I would say as we experienced a lot of the growing pains that most brewers do that are small, starting in the micro level, even on the regional level, we talked to my co-founder, Connor McFerrin, and I talked about tweaking our business model and turning it into a partnership brewing facility. So what we've constructed on the near west side of Chicago is... 50 Barrel Brew House. It's a partnership facility where we brew for mostly local breweries within the Chicagoland area and then breweries outside of the state. And it's designed to essentially be an on-demand capacity expander for people, production partnership, really, where we help people either add to their existing volume. If they're a complete contract brewery now, we might be a new home for them. Otherwise, it's really an opportunity for breweries to continue to expand on the successful product that they've had to date and work together with them to develop their recipes and bring them into new formats, whether it's cans, kegs. Some people are switching from bottles to cans. Some people are looking for new territories. So it's at the end of the day, it's really just it's a collaborative, partnership-based facility that's used solely for craft brewing.
So when I say non-traditional, it's a non-traditional model, and it's sort of come out of this craft beer explosion where, you know, some people kind of maybe want to test the markets in a, you know, test the waters in a certain market, I should say, or they want to, you know, explore what the demand is for their beer, and it's an easy way to not sink, you know, $10 million into a new production facility. Instead, just invest in a batch of beer with you guys and see how it goes. Now, if you can explain a little bit about, because I think a lot of people listening to this, are there a lot of people listening to this?
My dad.
You're, yeah.
Nate.
Chris,
Katie.
Yeah. Boris I'll listens to it.
My dad. Boris.
Yeah. So
sorry, Boris.
For the 12 people listening.
And the guy who said that the sound quality was shit. That guy too.
I believe he said garbage.
Garbage.
He was right. I'll have to look him up on Twitter, give him a shout out later. But you know, for people who listen to this probably know what contract brewing is, and that's basically where you're just a label and a recipe, and you give it to a brewery and ask them to make it for you, and then you sell it.
Yeah, like
you guys are a little different than that.
We are, and I think that was one of the things we experienced actually as we were starting our own production brand. So not to get too granular, which friends of mine that better listen to this know that I tend to do. We experienced a lot of the same stuff when we looked for a contract relationship early on, which was probably about 5 years ago. And what we found is that there was no capacity or no consistent capacity. And then a lot of the QC checks along the way just weren't relevant or weren't important to the other contract providers, if you will. So we talked to other brewers that had contract brewing experiences. I mean, one of our best breweries in Chicago started on contract with Half Acre.
Half Acre, you know, yeah.
Those guys are...
That beer was crap, though. I don't mind saying that. I didn't carry it
when
it came out.
They bounced around from facility to facility, and it's the fact that they ended up with their own place on Lincoln and have done what they've done with that label.
And then started making really kick-ass beer.
Yeah, and now the beer is amazing. And I think you talk to guys like Matt and a lot of the crew over there, and everybody takes a lot of pride in what they do. They've been actually... To sidestep for a second, neighbor to neighbor, they've actually been incredibly helpful to us to get started, giving us advice, and it's cool. It just shows that spirit of craft is still alive even as the scene gets more and more competitive. But yeah, so I would say where we differentiate ourselves is the level of transparency we try to maintain, and then really the collaborative nature that's involved with developing each individual recipe. So some of the recipes we're brewing for clients, they've been brewing for a while. Like Maplewood won a GABF award last year for Charlatan, and getting into cans was one of their goals, looking for new markets, new off-premise accounts and stuff. But to do that, like Pat said earlier, it's a huge investment, right? So as a growing brewery like those guys are, trying to open their tasting room, trying to enter new markets, where do you put the capital? You know, and how do you get to that volume that generates enough cash to reinvest in your business? So I think where we developed the relationship with them was really probably because we had a can line to start and help them get into that format, and they've killed it, you know. And we worked really hard. I shouldn't say we as much as really Andreas and Laura, Andrew, the rest of our staff worked really hard with Adam, Ari, the entire crew at Maplewood to like do sensory, taste the beers, talk about recipes. I mean, all the way down to, you know, what's our efficiency coming out of the mash kit? Like, where are we at? What are we converting? You know, should we adjust mash pH, different temperatures? And it's a real hands-on process as we get recipes dialed in. So we're always looking for more efficiencies. We're always looking to get better extraction. And it's cool. I think if we didn't have the people we have at GCBC, you know, I mean, I'm not sure where we'd be right now. You know, so I think it's a lot of pieces coming together, people working together, and everybody's interested in making the beer as good as it can be. So that's where I think we differentiate ourselves and where we take that, maybe that stigma that's always gone along with contract brewing, where like you're just a label.
Yeah.
And we just tell it, you know, stick it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, no, so. That's all. I did not know, you can tell, I did not know you guys did Maplewood. That's awesome, because they are one of my kind of new favorite breweries in
they're
the
killer.
City. They're fantastic, and their quality of their cans is fantastic. I've had both, so props to you guys.
They are now. I mean, you know, once again, because I'm pretty much under the impression no one's listening, I don't mind saying, you know, they tried canning early on. Well, not that early on, but before you guys were open, and I believe they used a mobile canning unit that would come out to a brewery, you know.
They have that, yeah.
And those didn't taste so good.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, I have no idea what went wrong or what happened, but it wasn't the charlatan that I knew. And, you know, Ari made a point because, you know, I always get back my honest, you know, honest opinion on things, my feedback. He made a point when, you know, you guys were making it to bring me a sample and it was pretty spot on. So, it's imperative that anyone who is making your beer, when you're putting your brand on there, that they give a shit, and most of these contractors don't. Most of these contract breweries are just looking for your check and then spitting out your product and going, good luck selling it, you know?
There's got to be, because I'm with you on this. I know there are a lot of breweries that I've even occasionally had on tours that sometimes contract brew, and sometimes it works out fantastic. Other times, I would say more often than not, you can tell a contract brewed beer, and it's not you guys. I'm talking about other contract brewers that I've dealt with historically, mainly north in Wisconsin. I'm not going to name names. But there's got to be extra levels of, is there a reason why contract brewing can be so difficult to maintain that quality? For kind of, what are the challenges that you face that maybe a traditional brewer and kind of the most people think of don't face?
That's a really good question. I think I remember when we were marketing, we were doing different breweries and we went around to, I'm not a sales guy by trade, but I mean, I even popped in at tasting rooms around town and dropped off, you know, flimsy business cards because we were throwing them on just any kind of stock we could figure out what to use, you know. And trying to get our names out there and stuff. And I really wanted to see how our concept would be received within the community that we enjoyed participating as consumers for so long, you know. And so Connor and I were out talking to any brewer that was willing to listen to us for a little while within Chicago and even beyond, just to see what they thought of our model. And what we heard from people most often was, you know, oh, this brewer brewed on contract and it was, you know, SHIT. This brewer brewed on contract and it didn't go well. These guys had
You can
problems.
Say shit here, by the way.
Thank you.
You don't have to spell it out.
The handcuffs are off.
They're off,
good.
Yeah.
Good. I was not handcuffed. I would like to just reiterate that.
What kind of a podcast is this?
Yes. Oh my God, what did I sign up for? Luckily, everything is above board here, I promise. So I think we totally lost where we were at again. Let me get it back.
You were saying that the challenge, like they were saying that their contract beers were...
They all were looking unfavorable at contract brewing, right?
I think it was tough to, I guess, shift the narrative, right? And so we had I think the defining moment for us when we decided to say, yes, we would love to make our own beer because we feel like we have something to say, but we would love to figure out how to fix this situation and help everybody at the same time and take a more holistic approach in our mind. We had this defining moment with a brewer in Wisconsin that brews on contract quite a bit. And I was calling people all over the place. And the crew at Argus couldn't have been more polite. And they were like, guys, we just don't have space, but best of luck to you. Here are some people to call. And I was like, all right, this is cool. It's like, it's a community. People are trying to help each other. And I walked away from my discussion with the guys at Argus thinking like, pretty solid guys, you know. And then they refer me to a couple people, so I start making phone calls, and I get on the phone with this guy from Wisconsin. It took me 3 weeks to get a hold of him, and I called every single day, like numerous times. Finally picks up the phone, he's like, you're the guy that keeps calling. I'm like, yeah. And I'm just like, okay, so we're a brewery in Chicago, we'd love to start brewing, you know, we're in the middle of giving our licensing, but we can't get our licensing without a contract agreement, so we need your help, we'd like to brew with you guys. How does it work? And he's like, look, you know, we're really busy up here. You know, kind of a yada, yada, yada thing. And at the end of it, he was like, you know, if you make $2 a case out the door, best of luck, buddy. Click. And I was like, that's salesmanship right there. I'm like, who is this guy? So I called Connor after that. I'm like, here's what just happened. So, you know, we're out for a beer, kind of doing one of those like complaining sessions where both of us are like, I can't get this to work. I can't get that to work. And we looked at each other and we're like, why don't we just flip the model?
Yeah.
Forget about brewing our own stuff right now. We've heard from all these different brewers the problems they're experiencing. Let's figure out how to maybe solve it together. And then it, at no point did I think it was going to be as complex as it is now. So, like, I've lost half of my hair. good thing I'm engaged. She got sold a good piece of goods. The more and more we got into it, the more we researched it, we talked to other brewers, you know, there were so many quality thresholds that we weren't willing to compromise that we started settling on very specific pieces of equipment that kind of had a certain cost level to them, but also had, you know, certain speed, you know, precision, like tolerances that were tight and stuff. And we ended up building a facility that I hope turns out to be one of the better facilities in the region that people feel like they can trust, you know. And so as we got started, we realized, like, what we have here is our whole brand is based on trust and dependability, and being nimble, you know, and being flexible and reliable. So it's changed, it's transformed from, like, I've got my own brand, I'm trying to grow my own brand, you know, and I'm going door-to-door selling half barrels to everybody as much as I can, to, guys, you can trust us to help you sell more half barrels, you know. And so it's been cool. We've learned a ton from clients of ours. The biggest challenge, I would say, to get back to the point you were bringing up earlier,
this is great.
Circling back on what you really wanted to hear, was I would say one of the biggest challenges we have is managing the variety of recipes that are flying through our system on a day-to-day basis. And if we hadn't lucked into the people that we have on staff, and I'm not saying this because Andrea just walked up, if we hadn't lucked into the people that we have on staff now, there's no way that we would be managing the level of complexity that we are based on the amount of yeast that are going on at one time, the different types of recipes that are happening. I mean, there's so many things that we go through on a weekly basis to define our production schedule, from, you know, repitching, managing any sort of, like, flavor transfer that might happen from a yeast prop. Like, it's, I don't know, it's I think the complexity of being a contract brewer is being nimble and trying to make a variety of recipes spot on, clean, consistent. When you're not managing 4 or 5 SKUs, you're managing 15 to 20 SKUs, you know. And we're a smaller startup brewery, we're not like, you know, Stone or Sam Adams or Lagunitas or something like that. So I think it's, I don't know, it's been a...
Or Ballast Point.
You know, we don't have 9 versions of Sculpin, you know, so...
What fruit can you add next?
Yeah.
Andreas, welcome to the Beer Opinions Podcast. Thank Cheers, you. Buddy.
Cheers.
Yep.
I'll be the Eddie.
By the way, we're drinking your incredibly fresh cake today, unfiltered Helles. And it's tasting pretty fantastic, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
And
I should have gotten.
Yeah, that is not a
Helles. Oh, yeah, you're right. We're all drinking it. Bruce is over there with something else.
And Bruce has a lemon.
I know. I should be kicked off the podcast. You never know when scurvy can strike, though. You know,
that's a good point.
It's mom sands.
That's
good.
Also,
I thought that was lines.
Just made the comment about which fruit can you add next.
I got nothing left. This
so
is
just for everybody who's listening right now, the next fruit will be lemon.
Oh, that's fitness.
I love it when we gang up on Bruce. So easy. So easy.
Yeah, I don't make it hard, do I?
No, you don't. No. Yeah, so I'll be honest with you guys. You know, I've been accused or labeled as someone who does not order. Yeah, most importantly, because that's all the breweries really care about is what I order. They don't care about what I think. But I am one who has a reputation of not ordering contract beers or gypsy breweries, as they're known. Which apparently, I don't think, you know, I was told by a prominent gypsy brewer that you're no longer allowed to use the term gypsy brewer because something about it's racist.
What if you say it with an accent, like, you're a gypsy brewer?
I think that's worse.
Blue gypsy.
I think that's worse. Because here, gypsies just means, like, people, like, dancing and
yeah,
playing,
it's kind of
playing
like
tiny guitars and,
you
know.
Aladdin. Like,
yeah.
I think of Aladdin. like Disney movies.
Right, but in Europe, I think Gypsy has a totally different meaning. Yeah, you know, right. It's
being German, can I call them sentient Roma brewer or something? Yeah. I don't know if it's too racist. Like, it's a language issue.
Being Irish, I call them travelers.
Travelers. In Trump's America, you can call them anything.
You're right. We can't get political on the podcast.
I'll go back to my lemon beer.
Yeah, go back to your lemon beer.
Let's go back to what you started with, like contract brewers. Good thing is, this beer is not brewed contract. It's brewed by contract brewers.
That's right.
You know, so you can order whenever you want to. It's like,
that's right.
You're welcome.
And it's delicious, you know. And you know, I've been mislabeled really because I have ordered Gypsy beer. I still do. Or sorry, what is it?
Traveler's beer.
Traveler's beer.
Traveler's beer.
And I still do, but you know, I have to do a little extra work. I have to know where it was made. I have to know, you know, how it got here. I have to know, you know, who made it and, you know, all the rest of it, because those things matter to me. They often give me a sense of what that beer will be like. So, you know, I couldn't tell you how many times people have brought in samples and then I've gotten the keg, and the kegs come from a completely different source, and guess what? It doesn't taste anything like that sample I had, you know? So these are things that I have to ask and have to do, and, you know, it's, you know, I want to say, hey, it's nice that I know you guys, and you guys have been hanging out at Kaiser Tiger since well before you ever, you know, were able to make beer over there, and I mean, I remember you, you know, Dave, like, you know, unleashing blueprints on the bar at Kaiser Tiger years ago, you know? Dreaming, and you know, and I know you guys take it all seriously. So you know, that's nice to see. It's also, I think I've seen it all in craft beer. You know, I think I've seen it all, and then something happens where I tap basically a contract brewed beer or Gypsy brewed or whatever you want to call it, and it blows, you know, people go absolutely apeshit and it's gone in 3 hours. And that's what happened last week with the War Pigs. You know, so, you know, this is, I'm more than happy to change for the times and everything that's going on. And, you know, for the record, recorded on Beer Opinions,
yes,
I'm not anti Gypsy brewers or anti Gypsy. In any way.
You should still call them travelers.
Traveler. I am not anti-travelers. Or Traveler Brewery.
Isn't there a Traveler's Brewery, though? It's going to be so confusing.
There probably is.
There's the Curious Traveler. Curious Shandy Traveler. Maker. Yeah. Which is contract-made Shandy. That's kind of owned by Sam Adams.
Sam
kind
Adams,
of not.
Right? Yeah.
Kind of owned by the guy who started Magic Hat. Anyway. It's a complex world we live in.
When I was a kid, I remember, like, definitely didn't drink before I was 21. Let's just get that on the record. I remember being a kid.
You don't have
to
lie here at Beer Opinions.
Okay, I drink before I was 21. Mom, I'm sorry.
See, we coaxed the truth out of
them. I was responsible. I took the L. I remember drinking Blue Moon, and I was, you know, it was like my gateway drug to craft beer. Because I was like, this beer has flavor. It's better than Schlitz. You know, and I remember buying it from Carmen's across. Carmen, you guys definitely never sold underage people at Loyola, but I remember buying it with like a military ID, you know, and it was like a buddy of mine that was in the armed services, Pete, I love you. And I would go over there and I would buy like Schlitz and stuff because it was super cheap. We'd buy a 30 pack.
Yeah, we used to do the Schlitz ice over there at Bruno's.
Bruno's, thank you. Not Carmen, Bruno's.
Bruno and Tim's, yeah.
Yes. And I remember one day.
No miners in there,
like,
by the way.
You gotta try this Blue Moon, man. This is like the greatest thing that's ever happened to beer. And I'm like, let's give it a go. You know, so we're like up in our dorm rooms pre-gaming, drinking Blue Moon, and I was super full when I was done drinking it. And I was like, this tastes pretty good.
So Dave, I didn't know you went to Loyola.
I did. I'm a Loyola grad.
I am too. Yeah. What dorm are you in?
I was a Mertz guy.
Oh, I was Campion, which I don't think it exists anymore. I'm old.
Where was that at?
Right across the street from Bruno's.
Okay.
It's very convenient. It's very conveniently located.
You remember where Mertz was at?
Yeah, right. Campion's still there, but I think it's something else now.
It wasn't destroyed.
Oh,
yeah.
It was a shorter
short building. Yeah,
yeah.
I was on the third floor.
Three bedrooms and stuff.
It survived the Great Chicago Fire after you left, or
Bruce. I started to laugh and then I realized I should stop.
Yeah. Let's get back to ganging up on Bruce.
Just for people who cannot see it right now, Pat is dropping another lemon in Bruce's beard.
By the way, Bruce is dressed pretty, poncy. What's with the outfit?
I've gone back into the corporate world, but I'm still doing beer tours. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, sweet wingtips. It's 90 degrees out, buddy.
We'd love to have you by for a beer tour, and you are more than welcome to wear anything you like.
Thank you.
I thought
he might answer like,
I take this really serious here, but yeah, he's back in the corporate world.
Yeah,
it's fine too. It's cool.
I don't think this is at all. I think
the approach to the contract situation is actually that you were talking about, Pat, is actually, from my perspective, is right on, because we've talked to other buyers in town and stuff like that, whether it's been our beer or other people's beer, because we've been out and we've seen clients of ours, in the fridge behind the bar or on tap. And so I always make it a point to drink that beer when we're out, because I want to see what it tastes like there versus at our place. And I don't know. And I know everybody at our brewery is always thinking about our client beer. So it's almost like QC outside of the facility to some degree, because I want to make sure that it's still an accurate representation of what, like, Adam would want, or Ari would want, or Kevin at Bigot would want, versus, what we taste in the facility. But when I've talked to other bar owners and stuff, I said, well, I'll tell them, like, hey, we brewed that. And sometimes the guys are like, really? Wait, do you work at Bigot, or do you work at Maplewood, or do you work at Like Minds? And we're like, no, we have a brewery called Great Central. And they're like, oh, yeah, they've heard a little bit about you. Other people are like, they have no clue who we are. But they're happy with the product, and I think that's just it's important to know where it's coming from, and that the people that are brewing it are brewing it with the appropriate level of consideration. But I think the guys that are out representing their brand, like when Ari's going door to door, like, they're very connected to us. So it's not like they just hand it off and disappear and we just ship beer every month. I mean, I don't know, we text and call those guys all the time. Or they call us all the time.
They have to drop off like special ingredients to the hops and stuff.
Yeah.
And every time when they show up, it's like, hey, this is your batch right now. In the tank, come and try it. And those are things like,
wow.
Yeah, correct.
Like a lot of pressure.
Of course. Yeah. It's just like, I'm like, oh God, he's coming back. No, I'm kidding. When you brew like the first time, like, everybody's excited. It's like, it's kind of, you see this. What we saw at the beginning, where people are super nervous, like every new customer is going, it's like, hand off your baby to childcare.
Sure.
Where it's like, are you sure you can do it the way I would do it? It's like, is this like what you really, how does it work? It's like, people are nervous. We get more relaxed now because we know our system a little bit better, but it's still like, you invite people, come over and drink your beer from the bright beer tank. Tasted what we did with like your product, your recipe, everything. Like, we never got anything like negative or like not even neutral. It's like everything was just like, wow, this is great. And like, wow, the contract break feels good at the moment. I've seen different in the past, but this is like, it's what he said. Like, it's like, we're almost like spoiled because we're in the brewery. We always get the freshest beer on the planet. We drink from a tank.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, we go out and like, okay, let's have this beer because I know it's like made in our facility, and like see how it turns out in the bar. And
yeah, I mean, even just bringing our unfiltered Hells over here tonight, which is what I was telling Pat when I brought the kegs earlier today. I backed the truck up to the combi keg, and Joe and I like threw them in.
Yeah.
So it was like on the ground for like 15 feet, and it was in a car, and it was in Pat's place. And it's like,
that's pretty awesome.
It doesn't get any fresher than that, and it's like, we,
God bless the self distribution law,
it's
the only way I get to drink like a brewer.
The amount of flexibility it allows
is even fresher than Pilsner Urquell.
I actually had someone ask me today about Pilsner Urquell.
Yeah. Doesn't hurt.
Which was a joke that we had going. And somebody actually asked me about that. They're like, hey, I saw an ad for it.
It's an underground mission of Andreas and I.
Andreas is a regular of my Pilsner Urquell unfiltered 5-day-old keg tappings that we tend to do here at Kaiser and Patty Logs.
That was an awesome event. That keg, we got up there, I think we had like one, maybe two.
We had one.
We had one, and the keg was kicked. We were like, shit.
I was talking about this event for probably like 1 week. People were like, what's his deal? It's like, it's just like
Eyes were lighting up.
And then David's, he's just like, okay, let's go there. I'm like, oh my God, this is like Christmas. Yeah. Even better, they have personal ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, we sat down.
Even better.
We sat down at the table outside.
Santa doesn't have fucking fresh Pilsner.
He's just coming with his stupid old stinky bag. He has like a fresh Pilsner Urquell. It's like, this
fat
great.
Elf doesn't have unfiltered Pilsner Urquell.
We're poor. It's a long journey.
Bunch of amateurs.
Do you guys find that most of your business is with established brewers, or do you ever take chances on home? Because Half Acre, for example, you brought it up earlier, they started and kind of started from this, and there are other brewers that have done the same. Have you done that yet, where you've gone for home brewers and kind of helped them grow their brand, or would you be open to that, or do you kind of have some minimum qualifications?
It's kind of a mix of everything. So what he was mentioning before is people like Mines, Maplewood, and B-Guy. They started. They have like a base where they have accounts. They have a distribution
existing.
So they already produce beer and they know what they want to do, how they do it. And at the same time, we talk to bigger guys, of course, because just people want to outsource. But it's a really crazy mix. So we talk to people. They work on a self-made half barrel keg brew house, and like we grow and we want to grow bigger, and it's like a mix of everything. It's like from the smallest people, they're still like, oh, this is a lot of beer, I'm not sure if I could sell it, but at the same time it's like, yes, of course you can, because it's good. And we try to help them like just to start, like do the first step into like the whole brewing industry business, which is like getting harder and harder. And at the same time, we have mid-sized breweries, they want to grow, but they cannot right now because of limitations on building, brewing site, or even like staff site. So this is where we help. And at the same time, we talk to bigger guys who are like, of course, we can make a lot of beer for you if you want us to. It's like, it's really from like a 3-barrel brewhouse up to like a 50-barrel brewhouse. Can you help us?
That's awesome. Yeah.
And it's...
We have a recipe that's brewed on a 10-gallon system right now, or basically a half-barrel system right now. And it's like, how do we scale this up? Yeah. So I think the first step was basically sensory. It's like, let's taste the beer. What are you going for? What are you trying to do? Because how do you translate hop utilization rates on a little propane-fired half-barrel system? It's like...
You know, just times it by 30.
We joke about this all the time. It's like,
times it all by 30.
Yeah. It's like, I mean,
doesn't work that way, does it?
I mean, if we know target rates for some of these guys, like maybe like starting terminal plate, like if we know some of that stuff. But I think from a hop standpoint, it seems to be the hardest for you guys.
Even then, it's we still rely on. I mean, that's one big point. We're in the neighborhood of Goose Island, and they help us a lot with like the laboratory, for example, because we can just not detect things they can, and they can like we can just not measure IBUs at the moment, Apple and stuff like this.
BDKs.
So they help us a lot, but we just go over and
really?
Yeah, there's a new
They've
client.
Awesome.
That's very un ABI of them.
It's they are very special. People told me when I moved to Chicago, it's like that's an AB plant. I'm like, really? Like they're open. We ask them for everything. We get all the information we need.
That's
cool. It's really, really
Sierra hard. Nevada. When I went up to North Carolina, they do the same thing for the North Carolina breweries. They give them access to their lab, and cool thing to do.
I think even within that large network of guys that are on that macro level, I think if the culture is right at the particular brewery, like Goose is one of them for sure. The crew that's there, it's a mix of AB people and people that have been at Goose for a long time. Like I think. they couldn't be more neighborly.
Yeah, I mean, I still know people over there, and they're great people.
Our whole neighborhood's like that.
That's why I still pour them.
That's awesome.
You know, as long as I know the people over there, I don't have to know them all, but, you know, I do because they come by here. And,
yeah.
You know, to me, they're a local brewery. I know they're a worldwide brand now, and they're in freaking China and going to Australia.
But they're brewed here in Chicago.
Well, some of it.
Some of it.
A very small amount of it, yes. There's,
and they've grown significantly.
But no, 99% of it is not brewed here.
Yeah, I mean, they've grown significantly because they have a giant engine behind them now, right?
Yes, like, yeah.
But, I mean, all the BCS, all the Matilda.
Yeah,
the
Kajak,
like,
all the good stuff
the
is
sours,
brewed there.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, everything's local on Fulton.
People are still standing in line in front of our brewery.
Oh, yeah.
Not for us, but for them.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, like, we're gonna, like, this fall, like, whenever it's Black Friday, like, we're probably going to have a line in front of our brewery for people to go into their brewery. But, you know, we'll open the tap room.
It's just like a little detour, you know? It's just like,
and then go get some bourbon candy.
There you go. So if you're in line for Goose Island, stop in.
It's maybe a 3-minute detour, but you will be happy.
It'll make the wait easier.
So I think what Bruce was trying to say is, are you willing to partner with him on his? He's been dreaming of making this ginger kumquat beer.
Nope, that is right up on
that
his
gets
salad.
Served with a slice of watermelon.
I'll go on record saying that is well within the tolerances of the German purity laws.
No, let me think about this.
It's just a kumquat, organic kumquat. Please.
I've never had kumquat, but it sounds dirty.
This will take a long time to think about. It's like, give me some time. Actually, no.
He's like, sit there. He's like, let me think about it. I've thought about it.
Absolutely not.
I heard three.
Sorry, Bruce.
I heard like three of the four ingredients. I'm like, no. It's like,
I asked him if he could brew it. I've asked you like so many random beer recipes, and you're like, get out of my brewery. I respect him for that.
Isn't there anything like important to do in the office right now?
Yeah, don't you have paperwork to shuffle upstairs, or, you know, maybe a meeting to go to? Why are you on the brew house for? By the way, you're not wearing your boots.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
And then like just a couple minutes later, like, why are you still in the brew house? Like, yeah, the water's colder here, you know. It's like,
what do you mean? It's filtered, man.
Yeah,
it tastes good.
Just get
so
upstairs.
We had the Rolex guys put a shutoff valve on our cold liquor tank. So we have right by the Manway.
We have a lot of travelers going there. Back,
a little port.
You know,
a lot of travelers.
And,
yeah,
it was hilarious. Like the second that little port got welded in, every construction worker on site was taking like numerous breaks a day to go to the cold liquor tank for filtered water. But it's like
37 degrees.
Yeah, I mean, it's insanely cold, and it tastes so clean. And it's like Chicago water is actually pretty damn good water, I think. But like, it comes out of a giant charcoal filter, and it's super clean water. And I think it's given us a really nice base for
just
a ton of different styles.
To talk about like charcoal filters only there to get the chlorine out.
Right.
Nothing else. It's only cleaning, like getting chlorine out of the water. It's like this beer you drink is without any water treatment. We don't put any
use
salts
RO
in
or
there.
Stuff, yeah.
No acids, like nothing. This is only
so Chicago water just without
this,
the chlorine.
This is honestly all the beers we brew. They're like 100, like the GCBC brand is 100% purity law. It's only malt, water, yeast, and hops. Nothing else. No acid. No water treatment. Like it's coming out off the lake into your glass. It's like from the lake into the glass.
Nice.
It's
that's
almost
really cool.
Like from sea to sip, but I cannot say this, right? It's just like,
you can say anything on
the alliteration is key.
Yeah.
Really, I think that's actually, it's kind of cool. Like the way I met Andreas was through our manufacturer, and we'd been looking for a brewmaster for a while, and we interviewed a bunch of different people. And we had brought Laura Burns on as our head brewer and our quality chief. And we were looking for like that complimentary person for her based on her background. And, we ran into Andreas. So we brought him online, and it's like, the more I learned about this guy, it's like he's German, Bavarian, I should say.
Yeah.
Maybe more appropriate. Thank you.
He learned this already.
So he's Bavarian. And, and the style of beer he likes just happens to be the style of beer that I enjoy drinking the most, which is like German style and like Belgian style beers. Those are like the ones that I really, really enjoy. So it was easy for me. I was like, well, let's hire this guy, you know. But he and Laura have become this like dynamic duo of brewers. And I think where we've found our place internally for the house brand that we'll serve at the tasting room, like the house that we have here today, is just everything will fit within that German purity law, and everything we're brewing is sourced from German sources, really, other than the water and, you know, the yeast we work with, either like, you know, White Labs or BSG or Fermentis or something like that. But it's, I think what you'll see from us is our goal is always to produce really clean beer, very clean fermentations, and
extremely drinkable.
Very drinkable beers, and you might see different flavor.
I like drinkable.
You'll get a lot of banana, or you get a lot of caramel, right. Or like, I mean, I get, you're going to kill me, but like, I get a little bit of lemon from the unfiltered hell.
It's because you sit next to Bruce and he has like, right, yeah, yeah. Nice beer, but, yeah, which is like, for the
Bruce
office.
Probably, you know, part of his lemon got squeezed into that problem. Yeah.
But I think like, you'll see as we go and we're doing some of the small batch beers and stuff, like, we'll do what we can to create flavors without actually utilizing that particular ingredient. So you'll get banana, or you might get strawberry, yeah. Or raspberry, and it's going to have to do with the hops, the yeast, the type, you know, the way we either stress out the yeast, if we overpitch, we tweak fermentation temperatures, like everything's going to be within that German purity law, and how far can we push the limits on that, you know? And I think
restrictions aren't the worst thing in the world, you know.
Right.
You know. All of us except Andreas have gone through this American craft beer renaissance, and it's had its ups and downs. And, you know, obviously we all love it, you know. But, you know, the most amazing thing I have encountered in my 20 years in American beer is someone handing me something that I find to be undrinkable and they think is one of the greatest beers they've ever had. And my first question is always to them, like, well, I mean, how much of that could you possibly drink? They're like, oh, well, you know, only a couple of ounces. Well, how the fuck is that the best beer you've ever had? Because I like to drink lots of ounces.
You
like,
mini,
you know,
yeah, that's what
I don't,
you say about,
yeah, I don't even measure beer by the ounce. I measure by the liter, you know? That's
thank
how I like
you,
to drink
you
it.
So much, but it's like, when
this is going to bury me. You can go with it.
There's a couple, like, we had, like, a couple very long nights in the brewery, and at the same time, we're like, let's just stop in the bar. And we went to a bar in the neighborhood here, and he got this flight of beers, like six beers, and everything was completely different. I'm like, I get a 16-ounce pour of this. And he's like, you don't want to taste it? He's like, I tasted 16-ounce pours.
Yeah. Wes is like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm sampling. He's like, I sample too, but 16 ounces at a time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have no man card left. Yeah. Like, it's just gone. And it was at Banger. We were at Bangers and Lace, and Eric looked at me, and he's like,
fantastic.
He's like, dude, you got served, man. Like, yeah.
I'm going to think about that next time.
Oh, my God.
Like,
we had this whole flight of, like, 4-ounce samplers in front of me, and I felt like the worst person in the world. I'm like, Andreas just killed me. He just destroyed me. And by the time I finished the flight, he finished an equivalent, but of like vessels, but in 16-ounce format. And I was like, "That's some real German shit, right there." You know. And that was a good lesson for me to learn.
What we have is like one thing I realized with like creating recipes: the simpler the better. Just like keep it as simple as possible. And every time when we brew a beer, it's like, "What do you think?" I'm like, "I think I want to drink 100 of it."
Yeah,
it's just
yeah.
Like, it's just like, I don't want to like.
It's like that scene in scene in Beer Fest, you know.
Such a great movie.
Let's
by the
put
way.
It in ice rink and freeze it and skate on it and then melt it and drink it all.
that is a great.
I love that crew, man. Between that,
Super Troopers.
It's Super Troopers.
Oh,
how did the Academy skip over Beer Fest?
Yeah.
How did that not win an Academy Award?
It's too German. They cannot do it.
Yeah,
it's like giving Leonardo DiCaprio the Oscar. It's like, well, wait, this is too German. It's like, we can't.
It's probably the same year The Piano came out.
I'm pretty sure.
You know, like they're like, we're going to skip over Beer Fest.
It must have been.
I'm
must
pretty
have
sure
been.
Beer Fest is why they went from 5 to 10 Best Picture nominees.
I hope so.
And the other 5, 6 through 10 should be Beer Fest.
Right. Yeah.
But like different scenes of Beer Fest. You know what I mean?
That's right.
You know, we're like Super Troopers. Like,
you boys like Mexico!
Like, oh my God, that movie's amazing.
Open bar, dude.
Right?
All right.
You are freaking out.
Do you guys have plans for your like house brands? Do you think you'll grow that as well as contract and maybe distribute that as well? And
Well, they are distributing it.
I mean,
I think that's something like, the beer fans and beer lovers will decide.
Sure.
As long as we can keep it fresh for the market, we probably will continue.
Yeah, I think right now we were talking about earlier today, like we're doing everything we can to keep up with orders. And we've got breweries that depend on us for like a certain turn, right? So that will never come. Our brand
You'll
will never come before,
out.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's been, I would say, clearly communicated from day one. The beers that we're making together, that Laura and Andreas are putting together, our tasting room is definitely a place where you'll be able to get them. There are maybe, I don't know, maybe a half a dozen places in town, and Kaiser Tiger's one of them. I mean, we've got maybe a half a dozen relationships where we've taken our beer to date, you know, and I think, I think like Andreas said, it's like people that enjoy it will kind of dictate what happens with that, you know, and as long as we can make sure that we're always doing right by anybody that's contracting with us to brew with us, you know, I think we'll make sure that we abide by that.
One of the things we try to avoid is we don't want to flood the market, you know, as long as we can handle it, at the same time we can, like I said before, like we can just keep fresh beer out in the market, it's all fine. I just don't want to ever go into a market or like into a bottle shop and I can find one of my cans 11-month old.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means like somebody's not enjoying it.
Well, and it's kind of nice to not have that pressure. Like you're able to kind of grow the brand organically, I assume, compared to like what might be normal situations.
For sure, yeah.
Or
we're not
traditional.
Yeah, I mean, we're not out there trying to push, you know, we don't have a salesperson. Have anybody that's out there going account to account, like trying to lock down sales. I mean, we're not sitting there like tracking touch points or something like that. I mean, we come to Kaiser Tiger probably at least once a week.
Our sales
and it's
team
like,
is pretty solid.
Yeah.
It's the boss, the head brewer, and the brewmaster.
You know,
yeah.
We're all together and
yeah.
It is. It's
beer.
Always the three of you. Yeah.
the places we're in, we have relationships with. We've had some really enjoyable moments and some good personal relationships with the team at One Off Hospitality, right? So Publican put on our Weizenbach earlier this year.
Don't forget to mention George. He's like our
first place
ever.
And then Independence Tap.
George Street Pub?
No, George.
Independence Tap.
George from
George
Independence
Tap. Oh, Independence Tap on Irving Park?
Yeah. So George.
Yeah, I know the joint.
So
yeah.
Like the first time ever Helles on tap. So
really?
We would have never met him, but one
it's
of Andres'
sweet bar.
Friends
I like
works
that place.
Across the street. Goes over there to drink every day, and he took him some Oktoberfest that we brewed as a test beer last year as a gift. And he was like, a really good friend of mine brews this, and he's like, I need this beer right now. And we're like, it's not available, you know? So then Andreas comes in one day, and he's like, George and Independence Tap wants our Helles. And I'm like, who's George and Independence Tap? So we go up, and we have a couple beers with George, and he's an amazing guy. Like, it's like what we're doing here. Like, sits down, hangs out for a little bit. Talks about the market, talks about the world. Like, I think every time, we were saying this the other day, every time we go up there, we learn a valuable life lesson from George. Like a legitimate life lesson, because he's a very just genuine guy. And we just take Helles up there a couple times a month, you know? And
he started with Budweiser, Coors Light, and Guinness. And then you go there and you get like beers,
you're
like, well, this is amazing. Like, I don't know what I should drink first.
Yeah, and it's an awesome local bar. Like,
totally. Yeah.
It's a place to take pride in, because you go up there and like, I look in the cooler and I'll see some Beagle, I'll see some Maplewood. It might be some Maplewood that's on tap, like Crushinator was on tap. And then Hopewell's on tap, you know. And the guys at Hopewell have been really cool with us. If we hadn't connected with Steven and his architect, we wouldn't have designed our malt room the way we did. You know, and it's like, so it's cool to see their beer there and they're doing well, you know, and you run into their team out in the field. So it's, I don't know, it's cool. Like, I think we'll just let it kind of happen organically and like.
Well, if it keeps tasting like this, it'll be on tap at Kaiser. That's for sure.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I actually tried to make it a little better.
Yeah,
do that.
If you could, I'm really upset with you right now.
Just a little.
I didn't drink like four of them.
Not much. Like a little every time.
Well, I'll tell you this. My glass is empty. So is everyone's, except Bruce.
Well, that's because the lemon.
Wow,
I think
Bruce,
is
yeah,
lemon
it's a lemon slowing you down.
It blocks, you know, every time I drink it, it blocks.
The lemon
is restricting the flow.
It's restricting it.
There you go. Pound that lemon.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah.
That's what Aaron
is. There's nothing like peer pressure. to get Bruce to finish a pint.
I'm easily.
So we have like four people and four lemons. It looks like a tequila.
Don't put hair on your chest, my friend.
Next time you should drink a beer, you really enjoy it. You don't like it.
I think it was a hacker troll.
No, it was not.
So now is the time where we go around and promote anything we want, talk about whatever. What's going on with Great Central, or you know, even if it is about Great Central, what's going on?
Well, what's going on? I mean, that's a pretty good question. I will be in Germany for a week. That's going on.
So oh, nice!
I'm looking forward.
Bavaria.
Yeah, of course.
Sorry, of course. You said Germany.
That's because of when I, you know,
see, it's like
the state police.
I think you're starting to become American. I think you've been here too long.
No,
he's about to jump over the table and throttle me.
You know, if I were to be American, I would not know what Germany means. No, I'm kidding.
You'd be a lot fatter too, by the way.
Oh yeah, I know.
You're working on that though. We'll get you there. We'll get you.
My wife is downstairs, and she's like, no. No, we have to work out. What's new? I mean, Chicago is new. It's my first real summer in Chicago, and it feels great.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
There's no better place in the world in summertime.
It's great.
That's just a fact.
The brewery is doing well. What's new?
I agree. It's summertime. At some point, Andreas and I will get out when it's light. Which would be nice because both of us are very pale right now.
Just mostly
we look very European, very Northern European.
Northern
right
European.
Yeah.
You do know, yeah.
Which I am, and I know you,
no,
you tend
not.
To disagree.
No. Romania is
I'm,
not Northern
I'm
Europe.
Romanian and Luxembourg. There's some German in
You're Romanian,
there.
Huh?
He's not even
Romanian. I was going to say, no wonder
his
it's Gypsy Brewers.
His grandfather was Romanian, so he's actually born and raised in the United States, so he's
yes,
American.
I'm born in the States.
Like,
is that how it works?
Yeah. What else is new?
More
so,
importantly,
I mean,
Andreas. No, we're about to open our tasting room.
Which is pretty
awesome.
Exciting.
Oh, that's massive.
Yeah, very exciting.
We passed all of our inspections. We've got one left with the health group from the licensing task force.
What's the address?
221 North Wood Street in Chicago, and I would say we're preparing to announce our grand opening date, which looks like it'll be toward the end of July, but we will do kind of a quiet, just soft open during the month of July, so definitely swing by, drive by, drive by and like stop in for beer.
For all the responsible people in this world, it's the Ashland Station, pink
yes.
line and green line.
If you are worried about the ecological footprint,
yeah,
take the green line.
So for all the Europeans, if you
yes.
enjoy riding a train, come by.
All the advanced people.
They love their trains over there
yeah,
in Europe, don't they?
And if you're an American, take your SUV, black car Uber, to...
No, you drive it.
I drive.
We have brand new grass, like seeds that just start to grow. Park your car on it.
Just drive it. Right on the grass seed. Don't worry about the environment.
Good.
Throw your McDonald's bag right on the ground there.
Keep your car running because you need the AC when you're drunk. So it's just like it's not hitting you. No, this is pretty exciting. So you see,
it's
like
a lot of America bashing on your beer opinions podcast this week.
The tasting room, actually, we're really excited about the tasting room. And actually, what would be kind of cool is we did a sausage cookout.
Yeah.
We could do something like that. But we'll figure it out.
Let me know.
But yeah, we
I can bring some sausage over.
Yeah. Wonderful.
This is Chicago. It's called Sausage.
Sausage Kings of Chicago.
So I just learned something really substantial. It's like Sausage
King. Sausage. You gotta say it's kind of like Sausage. You know, when it comes that kind of Sausage King.
Can we call it
Borscht
or something?
At 2-3 Sausage.
Get two of them, 3 days. One of them goofy hats. Tavern's opening, and then
Andrew was just sending a picture of sausages on his barbecue.
Andrew is our packaging manager. He's Canadian, so that says a lot. And he was sending sausage pictures to Andreas.
Yeah, just right now.
It's regular.
That's what happens.
Regular United Nations
scenes.
Over there.
Hopefully,
at Great Central.
We more or less are. We've got a lot of the corners of the globe covered.
No, hopefully, he apologized right after. You know, Canadian.
Sorry about that.
I was pretty. Actually shocked on how many nations like are going like help Great Central to bloom, you know.
Yeah.
So like, it's Canadians,
Germany, Mexico, Canada.
Yeah, it's just like and then there's these how they call it Americans, of course.
Americans, of course.
I remember
love or leave it.
I remember a while back
I cannot
was at,
anymore, my wife is from here.
It's a labor of love from a lot of people. And I remember I was at Two Brothers touring their packaging area, looking at their bottling line from KHS. And at the time, their packaging manager was Andrew Rusinus, who is now our packaging manager. And we had talked to Andrew before he took a job there, and then we lost touch with him for a couple of years. And the guys from KHS took me by, we're touring the facility, and I'm like, hey, you know, Andrew, right? David, and he's like, yeah. I remember when all that was a boot downtown, you know, things. And then we ran into that bug a couple of years ago, and all of us had been very overserved, including Andrew. I think he was drinking more than he was serving the patrons at
Bug. I heard the opposite. You were overserved, and Andrew was professional.
Someone that was next to me was overserved.
Everyone else had beer in their glass was sober. But Dave.
He's like, what's going on with that brewery? And I was like, why don't we grab a beer and talk about it? So Andrew ended up coming on board, which was really cool. But I remember there being there talking to Jason one day, and he's like, good luck with the brewery. He's like, one thing that I'll tell you is you're going to learn very quick is it's a labor of love. And he couldn't be more right, because the amount of hours that we spend at that place, it's more than I ever thought we would. I knew it would be tough, but it's...
I mean, my wife is not asking why anymore. She's just like, when?
Yeah.
You know?
I get the same
thing. Yeah. At the beginning, it's like, oh, yeah, this broke down. This didn't work out. And now she's like, you know, when?
We were there, 11:30 last night, like fixing a blog valve.
Welcome to America, Andreas. You know, this isn't Europe where you get like 4 months off and, you know, 6 hour work days. This is America.
German holidays. I'm like, who are you?
We work 15 hours a day, 6 days a week. No, that's how we do it. That's how we built this country.
You know, the thing is,
that's right.
There's still one thing I want to try to like teach David about is like, how about we work efficient?
But it's an American brewery, man. It can't be efficient.
Get it done by
there's
like
no such thing.
Get it done by Friday afternoon, and then crack a beer open and have a couple sausages.
Sausages.
I very much appreciate that from you. And we are.
You're getting close,
yeah,
huh?
We're
getting there.
That is our goal. Like, I'm looking forward to the day where it's like 1 o'clock on a Friday, and our entire crew like walks into this place.
Starting work,
and we just sit down. We all just grab some burgers, and we start drinking. We're sitting on the patio. Like that'll be a really good day.
You'll get that.
Yeah, it'll be a really good day.
So
that's what I said 10 years ago. I'm still waiting.
Well, I mean, if it would be easy, everybody could.
I should complain.
Have you been in Ireland for just like a month or so? Just
for a week. I know. I take one vacation. Everyone's like, "Oh, we're just gone for like forever." Yeah, for a week. I took my family on vacation. Holy shit. Can't believe it.
That's why. Yeah. No comment.
All right. Bruce, what do you got going on? What's happening?
Just rocking and rolling with the tours, man. We got the 3 beer tours going. The weather's beautiful. It's a great time to drink through Chicago with beer.
And your new cubicle job, how's that going?
You know, it's
do you have a cubicle?
I have an office.
An office?
Yeah, believe it or not.
La-ti-da.
Office job.
Yeah, none of our listeners want to hear about your terrible office job.
Now they're
really exciting.
I know.
I can't wait to hear more. Not a lemon beer, so.
I've lost all credibility. But things are great. Chicago summer's awesome.
It is the best.
And rock and rolling. Thank you for coming.
Yes.
How about you? What's going on?
What's going on? You know, a little bit of everything. I do want to hype the Patty Long's 10-year anniversary, July 7th.
I will be there. I'm probably going to streak at some point.
Talk about multicultural. So we have a Polish polka band playing at 6 o'clock, Big Al. Everyone knows Big Al and Tim's Polka Machine, who are mainstay.
If you don't know Big Al, you shouldn't come. Actually, that's not true.
You should come and experience Big Al.
Yeah.
He's going to play a quick set at 6. Yeah. Quick set of 6, and then Davey Johnson, 2-time world champion bagpiper, who has not played at Patty Long's in probably about 5 years. He is fantastic. We're bringing him out of a retirement. He is going to come and bagpipe at 8 o'clock. And of course, crazy beers left, right, and center. And you know, you'll see a very inebriated Pat Berger.
I'm going to probably black out that night too. I don't know why. It just sounds like a good opportunity.
I think you will. If I have my way.
An ecstasy of
I have my way. You'll be blacking out that afternoon. and then, so I want to give a shout out to Mets Fan 6, who who said the audio on the last podcast is a mess. I said trash. He said it's a mess. So he was a little nicer than I thought. Mets fan 6, I hope this is better. Oh my God! Please tweet at me if it isn't.
Tweet at us regardless. We love hate mail.
Yeah, everybody tweet at us. I'm Pat.
Chicago Beer X.
I don't know what the hell's my name on Twitter. I'm never on
at Chicago Beer X. You guys like hate mail, probably, right?
No, we don't get it.
Oh, okay.
I'm old. I do Facebook, but I am on Twitter, and I will get it.
You gotta get the Snapchats, man.
I'm at Pat Patty Longs. I'm same on Instagram. I'm on Instagram.
Okay. IG.
Yes.
I heard people call it that. And I don't even know what they mean.
My son calls
it
just the Insta. Yeah.
I heard that. It confuses me greatly.
I follow my son on Instagram. He's, keep tabs on him. He's not happy about it. No, none of our listeners want to hear about this either.
Can you block it? He should block you. If you're smart.
Oh, God. Don't tell him he can do that. He will. All right.
This is getting out of hand. Sorry, guys.
We need to get some more beers, and I'm sure everyone else needs to get back to their lives. So thank you very much once again for listening to Beer Opinions. I hope the sound quality was better, and I hope it is from now on. Right, Stuart?
It will be better.
Stuart's on it.
It will be better. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.